I'm Kieran Ryan for MoneyWeb, and I'm joined today by Naledi Motsiri, who is a director, Worksmans. Naledi works in the pro bono department, and we're going to find out a little bit about that in a minute. What exactly does the pro bono department at Worksmans do? And she provides legal assistance and advice, general dispute resolution, and civil litigation. She also works in labor and employment law litigation, and focuses on consumer rights, children's rights, disability rights, property rights, labor law, maintenance, and wills. Naledi holds an LLB degree and a certificate in advanced labor law cum laude from the University of Pretoria. So welcome, Naledi.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. So you work mostly in the pro bono department. I think we better just explain what exactly is pro bono, what does it mean, and what are the kind of cases that you handle for the most part?
Okay, pro bono comes from a Latin phrase, which means for the public good. In terms of what we do in the pro bono department, we provide free legal services to people who cannot afford it. So we apply a means test in order to determine whether somebody qualifies, because it's pretty much reserved for people who are really indigent and who cannot otherwise access justice if we don't give it on a pro bono basis. All lawyers, all attorneys are required to give a certain amount of pro bono hours per year. And at Worksmans Attorneys, fortunately, we have a dedicated pro bono department that offers the service.
Is pro bono something that, I understand it to mean for free. But you said it's for the public good.
For the public good, and right. It's for free. Yes.
Yeah, it's for free. So you have a dedicated department there.
Yes.
And the kind of cases that you're mostly dealing with, are they domestic violence cases, harassment cases? Just to explain that a bit.
So we are lucky at Worksmans to have quite a larger pro bono department. So we deal with various cases. So we've got litigation, which whereby we deal with human rights matters. And then we've got a commercial department where we deal with corporate governance for non-profit organizations. And then where we deal with the domestic violence and the harassment is at our Deep Slut Law Clinic. So we've set up a law clinic in Deep Slut whereby we offer free assistance to the people from Deep Slut and surrounding areas. So in that area, the main cases that we see are maintenance, domestic violence, property disputes, and a request for wills, because now people actually are owning properties because of the RDP houses. Some of them now have their title deeds, and they, through our education, because we also provide legal education, we encourage people to come to our office and actually get wills done, and we do it at no cost.
I mean, Deep Slut started out as a shanty town.
Yes.
And so now people have got RDP houses and they've got title deeds, so they want to know what are their rights and they want their title deeds.
Yes, and we get a lot of property dispute as a result.
Really?
So that's, it's an interesting township. It's vibrant, but there are a lot of social problems there. But I'm very happy that at least over all of that, legal advice can be offered for free, and I'm very happy and privileged to be able to do that.
And do you have these clinics? Did you call it a clinic, a law clinic?
Yes, a law clinic.
Right. Do you have them in other parts of the country or Joburg?
Okay, so the Deep Slut Law Clinic is our signature project that we started. However, we partner with other organizations such as probono.org, whereby we staff their clinics. They're situated at Constitution Hill. So we go to Constitution Hill on certain days. We consult on property, wills, labor, and refugee law. So we do go to other parts. And we also go to different townships to give legal education, because that is a very large part of my practice. Because I feel like we need to educate people in order for them not to get into legal trouble. Because usually, when you go and consult an attorney, it means that you've already made a mess or there's a problem.
Right.
Yes.
Let's talk for a minute about domestic violence. There is a Domestic Violence Act, and there's also a Protection from Harassment Act. What are these acts and what do they define as domestic violence?
Okay, so these acts, and I encourage people to actually read the acts. You can easily access them on the internet. Very easy to read. They're well drafted. So the Domestic Violence Act, even in its preamble, which is the beginning of the act, it indicates that it is recognized that there is a problem with domestic violence in South Africa. There are high incidences of domestic violence, and the people who suffer from domestic violence are underprivileged or the most vulnerable people, and that this act is aimed to provide maximum protection for victims of domestic violence, and it actually seeks to eventually eliminate domestic violence in South Africa. And the Harassment Act is pretty much the same as the Domestic Violence Act. However, it focuses only on harassment. But for both acts, you can get a protection order at the end in order to protect yourself from the abuse. And another difference, which is distinct with the Domestic Violence and the Harassment Act, is that in terms of the domestic violence, there must be a domestic relationship, which I will get to. And then in the Harassment Act, it can be any. You can get a protection order against anybody, including a person that you've never even met.
Somebody who's harassing you, for example, on social media.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And so you can get a protection order against that person.
And if the person is disguising themselves as somebody else, a court can actually order the, let's say it's via a cell phone, can order the cell phone company to produce information about that person so that you can get an order against them.
All right, so domestic violence, there must be a domestic relationship. So that would be, presumably in the majority of cases, it would be husband and wife.
Yes, so there are different types of domestic relationships. It's actually quite broad. So it's people who are or were married to each other, people who are living together as a married couple, even if they're not married. And also the marriage can be any, in terms of any law, customary, religious, civil, however you are married, right? It also covers people who look after, who are responsible to look after children or have a legal responsibility to look after children or have a child together. And also relatives, whether by blood or marriage. And also people who have recently shared a residence, or people who have been in a relationship, romantic or otherwise, and for any duration. So in a nutshell, that's a domestic relationship, and that's what you required to have with the abuser in order to use this particular Domestic Violence Act.
I'm sure this is an age-old problem. It's been around forever. Yeah, there are better protections for victims of domestic violence today than there was in the past. I'm just reminded some years ago, a neighbor of mine came screaming to my door after she'd been beaten by her husband a few times. And she ended up being quite terrified of her husband. And she asked me to stand guard outside her door. So, I ended up being the thug, who was trying to protect her against the husband. But she already had a protection order against the husband, and he was obviously ignoring it. That's a complication that obviously arises, but give us an idea of some of the typical situations you come across and what you would do in a situation where you have an order which is being violated.
Okay, so we've seen in the media, it is an age-old problem. Now with social media, we see more of it. People do violate protection orders, and that's not a lie, it's true. There are people who don't respect the law and violate protection orders. So a similar scenario that you described has arisen in my own practice, where a woman had to resort to getting neighbors to help her ward off the abuser. And she wasn't really getting the proper assistance from the police. So in this instance, when a protection order is violated, there are certain processes that need to take place. However, they don't always happen in a way that it's supposed to happen. So victims sometimes end up killed. So it's important. So for me, in a perfect world, I would want protection orders to be the last resort and to be just an additional extra. I think our Department of Social Development and Department of Justice must be properly resourced to assist when there's assaults or crimes committed against people, and that if that person who beat his wife has been arrested, the wife does not need you or neighbors to stand guard to ward off the abuser, for example.
Right. Is it possible? I'm also aware of a situation, of somebody that I know who had a protection order issued against him for allegedly beating up his wife or attacking his wife, which he assures me did not happen. So you can get it's a way sometimes for a vindictive spouse to get rid of the other person I know this is probably not the general run-of-the-mill type of case that you get, but I think the test for this is it's issued by a magistrate, right?
Yes.
And it really goes on the verbal evidence of one spouse against the other in many instances. So what is the test for that, and how sure can we be that this is not being abused?
So it's not necessarily on the verbal evidence. When you are seeking, and I always encourage my clients, when you are going to seek a protection order, bring as much evidence as you can, because it's verbal evidence is not always sufficient. Okay, you need to have recordings, pictures if you've been beaten, bring as much as you can. Protection orders are not as easy to obtain as people think. And in South Africa, we've got a principle that everybody has the right to be heard. Okay. So if you are accused of having beaten a person and you go to court, you will be called to tell the court why the protection order should not be granted against you. So I don't necessarily know what happened in your friend's case. However, your friend did have a right at that time to appeal.
Right.
You can appeal the decision.
I mean, you mentioned at the beginning that one of the objectives of this act is to eliminate domestic violence altogether. I mean, I think that would be nice.
Yes.
It's probably not going to happen, but it is a good ideal to work towards.
Yes.
In your experience, how many instances of domestic abuse involve drugs and alcohol?
Well, I think there are many factors that come to play in domestic violence, and I think alcohol and drugs do play a role. However, I'm not an expert in that area, but I think it's a culmination of
it makes things. Sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
Right. And the kind of cases that you're having to deal with in your law clinic in Deep Slut, for example, give us a description. What's happening there? Is it just husband and wife having a bit of a scrap, or is it more chronic than that? Is it deeper rooted?
So we do have those where husbands and wives are arguing and things are not okay, and we try to mediate where we can, but where there is domestic violence, we don't mediate. We advise the client as to what they need to do in order to be protected. There is one particular form of abuse that is coming because of the legal education. Remember I told you we give these workshops? Economic abuse is a form of abuse that people don't really know about. So economic abuse is the unreasonable deprivation of economic resources, right? So if you are in a relationship, you are spouses, and your spouse, in terms of the household responsibilities, let's say she has to pay the bond, and due to the fact that he or she wants to punish you, does not pay the bond that month, or does not buy you the necessities, you know, like your toiletries, does not give children lunch money. A common one, does not allow you to have a job. Or if you have a job, the person will try to jeopardize your employment or prevent you from going to work, prevent you from learning how to read, getting an additional education, just so that they can abuse you and control you.
It's a control, yeah.
Yes, and another one that's also common, and that is often related to drugs and alcohol, it's when the partner or the person in which you are in a domestic relationship with will unreasonably dispose of the household assets or assets in which you as the complainant have an interest in. So the person would probably be addicted to drugs and start selling property in the home, and you have a right to approach a court and say, listen, this is what's happening, I need a protection order.
Right, but they tend not to do that because, I mean, it could be the son, right? You know, the son could have a drug habit.
Yes.
And he's selling off the TV and the furniture, and the mother would be reluctant to report that to the authorities because it's her son. But
yes.
But you're saying it is becoming a form of abuse which is being more widely known and reported.
Yes, and I think it's as a result of the workshops that Worksmans gives in the Deep Slut area. You raise an important point that it could be the son who's selling off the TV and the mother is reluctant to report it. We must understand that there are victims who don't want to report a crime, or victims who don't want to get protection orders. And us as lawyers, as society, we do need to respect that, because it is their choice at the end of the day. And it's important, very important, to be sensitive in terms of that. and not nudge or force the client to do things. It's not you, it's her or his situation. So you need to be sensitive.
Right. So in being sensitive to this, if you got a case where somebody came to you, it's a mother and her son has been selling off all the things that she's accumulated to pay for a drug habit. And she comes to you and she's furious, and you say, well, you obviously explain her rights to her. But then she realizes if she really wants protection, she's going to have to get a court order of some kind. And then she starts to obviously play this through in her mind. Well, you know, he could then get arrested to go to jail. And am I prepared to go through with this? No doubt that's a process you've got to work through with the complainant as well.
Absolutely. However, a lot of pro bono is not only legal answers that you give. It's a lot of problem solving. So you'll sit with the mother and say, okay, so this is the problem that your son has. You've told me that you don't want him to go to jail. So how about we try to get him into a drug rehabilitation program? These are the organizations that I know. Would you like me to give them a call and see if your son is willing to attend one of these programs? I mean, there we've solved a problem. We will try to eliminate the abuse. The boy will go through the process and probably get help, hopefully get help.
Right. What about a situation where, you know, you have a husband and wife, and it often happens in the township areas where one person will have a job, and I guess it's a form of economic abuse as well. The other person doesn't have a job, but the husband would still expect to control the finances. Is that something that you're finding is happening, and how do you counsel people on that?
So in your example of the husband and the wife, I will explain again what is economic abuse. So if the person has a job, firstly, he has a legal duty to maintain the wife. If they're married, there is a legal duty in terms of the Maintenance Act to provide and to give shelter, you know, household items, etc. So I will alert the client to that and explain economic abuse. And also explain the fact that in order to, you know, they should try to get a job, even if it's not a fancy job, but, you know, just to get something extra on the side, because, you know, you never know. Usually I have clients who just don't know where to go. They say, okay, if I leave, where do I go? Because sadly, I think we don't have enough resources to support victims of domestic violence who are poor, who have left. Right. Usually they have children.
And it's often the victim who's expected to leave, right?
And the minimum that is required from, like, a domestic violence victim would require medical attention, would require shelter, basic necessities, toiletries, etc., and money. And these are the things that maybe social development could help. We have non-profit organizations that can help, but unfortunately it's not enough. Domestic violence is a huge problem in South Africa, and unfortunately not everybody is covered.
Right. As a public interest lawyer, do you think the law is sufficiently strong in South Africa to protect people from the kind of domestic abuse that you've been talking about, the economic abuse, the violence, or does it need further strengthening?
I think the Domestic Violence Act itself is a well-drafted piece of legislation.
Is it easy to understand?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Even if you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It's easy to understand. So there, I think it's a good act, as in it's well written. However, the problem comes with the implementation, whereby, you know, a lack of resources. So, for example, the police are required to, in a domestic dispute, maybe where there was violence, and one of the abused person decides they can't go back there or it's not safe for them to go back there. They're supposed to provide or advise the client as to where to go and get a shelter. However, the Department of Social Development is not given the reciprocal duty to provide. So, you know, those kind of things. I mean, if we had enough resources and the resources are used towards this goal of ending domestic violence, the Department of Social Development, the Department of Justice, civil society as well. I mean, you know, we can, the private sector especially, we can get involved and help them so that they can, you know, grow and have more shelter, have more psychological assistance available for victims of domestic violence. And also, because it is a South African problem, I think each of us, everyone, not just the lawyer, the private sector, departments, no. As a person, what are you doing to end domestic violence? Because domestic violence is everywhere. It's in our country and it's our country's problem. So whether you are donating 20 rand a month towards a civil society organization, or whether you are the nosy neighbor who's asking, hi, is everything okay? Or you calling the police.
Thank God for nosy neighbors,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Be that person. Mm. Like, I think all of us play a role, should play a role, and that's how the Domestic Violence Act that is well written will actually
I think you're right on that. I think if you go down to, you know, the community level, these kind of things are prevented from happening mostly, I would say 90% of the time, by the community themselves, from my experience.
Yes.
And so that's kind of your first line of defense. Or the family itself, the extended family, would also maybe get involved. The question I wanted to ask you was, we assume when we talk about domestic violence that it's men against women, but does the opposite also happen? Women being violent against men?
Yes. So anybody can be abused, bottom line. Anybody can be a victim of abuse, and each case of abuse must be treated equally. It must be taken seriously. So if a man has been abused, I will take it as serious as I would take it if a woman was abused.
Right. I think men would feel a little bit maybe ashamed that their manhood is being questioned if they were to, you know, go to the police and say, I'm being beaten up by my wife.
Yeah,
but of course it can be, you know, in his sleep, you know, she hit him with an ashtray or something like that. So it comes in various different ways, right?
Yeah, and also you see it's a mindset problem where maybe, let's say, the person reports it and feels he'll be laughed at or whatever. Like I said, anybody can be a victim. And I think I encourage anybody who is going through that to report it. And I certainly will not chuckle or treat the person badly.
Of course not. I get the sense that you often end up, although you're a lawyer, you end up playing the role of counselor to people that come to you with their complaints. Is that true?
To a certain extent, yes. I don't have the necessary expertise for that, but I think I play the role of problem solver.
Right.
So if I see that, okay, this client needs more of counseling, I will tell them I'm not an expert in that area. However, this is where I think you should go. And these people will be able to help you for free.
So if anybody needs someone to talk to on this subject, and of course we're talking here from a legal point of view, how do they get in touch with you?
Okay, so my information is on the Worksmen's Attorneys website. They're welcome to pop me a mail or give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also make an appointment at probono.org to talk to me.
Yeah.
Of course, our legal clinic in Deep Sloot.
Clinic in Deep Sloot.
Yes, every Tuesday and Thursday.
And your email address, do you want to give that out?
Sure. It's nmotsiri@worksmans.com.
Nmotsiri, that's Nmotsiri at worksmans.com. Good. Last question. Are we ever going to eradicate domestic violence in South Africa?
Not unless every single person in South Africa has a change, like how I explained. It's all hands on deck. If not all hands are on deck, then we'll never eradicate it.
Do you feel that this is a realistic target? I mean, I have the sense that domestic violence has been around forever.
Yes.
But if you make it painful, if their penalties are high for domestic violence, it does create a change in behavior. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that.
So we can expect to see people behaving a bit better.
Yes.
In the future. The one thing that does concern me is the problem of nyopi and drugs like that's getting into the townships. And you start to see a lot of really disturbing type of crime that comes out of that, because it's very addictive. People lose their minds on it. And I think this has got something to do with it. Are you finding that?
I've had mothers come to complain about theft, as a result of Nyaope, and the son or daughter is missing, those kind of things, but nothing really related to directly to domestic violence, unless it's economic abuse. So I really can't comment on that one.
Okay, so we're going to leave it there. That was Naledi Motsiri, Director at Worksmiths. Thanks very much, Naledi, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.